We are now entering into the season of Lent, and I'm enjoying this whole Anglican thing and trying to figure out what words mean. Like last time it was Epiphany, you know, so now it's Lent, you know, and I thought about the word Lent. And again, usually outside of a church context, the only time I ever say Lent is, you know, like I lent Charlie $10 and he still hasn't paid me back, you know, like, not true, just an example. But like, it was interesting to do a little word study. Where did this word Lent come from? And it's kind of one of these words that they don't really know, but one of them was, it stood for lengthening of the day. That the season of Lent began to occur that time of year when it wasn't spring yet, but the days were beginning to lengthen. And as the days lengthened, it was a good reminder of the coming season of remembering the resurrection of our Lord. And that Lent really, I think that's a cool image to think about Lent as a time where maybe we can lengthen our souls a little bit, expand our souls. And so this season of Lent here at Resurrection, we're going to be pursuing that. And we're going to be pursuing it collectively. I'm sure you're individually going to be doing different things, but we're going to be pursuing it collectively when we meet on Sundays by exploring the way that we can lengthen our souls in the area of emotion. Pete Scazzaro is a pastor in Queens, New York, and he's written a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And he makes this just simple observation that it is impossible to become spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And that too often we separate the two, but God has joined them together. And so what we want to do is begin to explore these emotions, the things that sort of make up our everyday realities. And see where they sort of intersect with our spiritual life and what God would have us do. And if I had to come up with a catchphrase of what I'd love for you to begin to feel like you could do at the end of this series, at least for me, I know Dave may approach it a little differently. But for me, I would love for you to begin to feel like you could welcome your feelings as friends. Hello, anger. What do you have for me today? Hello, worry. Why are you here? Because I as strange as that sounds, I think that if you begin to read the Psalms, and that's what we're going to focus on, I think the Psalms are a great example of people of God wrestling with emotion and learning how to welcome these feelings as friends. They don't deny, they don't suppress, they don't get stuck in them. They can welcome them. Now, there's an intense wrestling process that goes into that, and we're going to talk about that. But welcome your feelings as friends. How do you do that? Well, I think there's sort of three steps to this process. Three steps that kind of a grid to help us. And the first is to be able to see it, then to be able to say it, then lastly, to release it. See it, say it, release it. Now, the Psalms are much more fluid than this, and there's not this obvious outline in every psalm that says that, but I think if you look at the Psalms, particularly the Psalms that deal with emotion, you will see those three elements interwoven throughout it. And that is certainly the case in Psalm 91, the psalm that we're going to look at this morning. The psalm that Ray Lewis made famous in Baltimore with his t-shirt. But this psalm, we believe, is a great example of welcoming the feeling of anxiety as a friend and learning to see it, to say it, and to release it. Anxiety. What are we to do with it? I mean, I know a lot of us would like to not have it at all in our lives. And I think there's some of us that have it to an extreme and some that don't seem to struggle with it that much. And it's a very complex emotion, and I understand that. But I would argue this, that the goal in life is not a worry-free life. If that's your goal, there's basically two ways you can accomplish it. You can die, right? Or you can just stop caring. If you do those, one of those two things, you might accomplish the goal of a worry-free life, but I'm not sure that that's the goal that God has intended for us. I mean, just take for a minute, like imagine a life without worry. Worry is actually, in its right context, a fairly helpful thing. I had to hook up, my grill broke, and I don't have a propane tank, but the guy that lived in the house before me set up a gas line so that my gas, I can hook up my grill to my gas line at my house. Now, when I got a new grill, I didn't just say, oh, I'm not going to sweat hooking up this gas line. This should be a piece of cake. No, I was a little worried about that process because I don't want a ball of fire to erupt from Towson the first time I grill out. So, you know, there was a little bit of anxiety, like, you know, in that process. And so I got help and I asked a lot of questions and I made sure everything was okay because I was a little worried. Probably should have been. You know, it was funny, on Friday I was thinking, like, I'm a little like worried about this sermon on Sunday. How do I preach on a sermon about worry and I'm worried, you know? Like, and then I realized, like, okay, well, I gotta get to work. You know, worry can sometimes be a really good thing, a good sign, and so the goal is not to have a worry-free life. Worry can really help you. I mean, if you welcome worry as a friend, sometimes it's there to point some things out, to say, hello. Okay, this is significant. Elise Rittler is a friend of mine, and she's a pastoral counselor. And I asked her as I was giving this her thoughts, and she said this, is she said that worry isn't always the problem. The problem is our response to it. And very often, spiritual people feel guilty about being worried, and they feel like they shouldn't be. And you know, I know there's some verses that say do not be anxious and stuff like that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But really what she was saying is the feeling of anxiety is just that. It's a feeling. It's okay. But you need to see it. See, very often we try to blind ourselves to it and we try to act as if it's not there and we refuse to see it. And then that is very often how worry then becomes a problem. Because you refuse to see it. And in particular, you refuse to see what anxiety is doing in your life. Because you're trying to act as if it's not there, or because you're uncomfortable with it, or you don't want to face it. And I know in saying this, I know there's a heavy biochemical element to anxiety. I know some friends right now that are going through intense times of panic attacks. And when they're going through those times, even words like I'm saying probably are doing very little good. And you need to see that and do something with it. So I recognize this is a complex emotion, but by and large, just the capacity to see it first, to see that it's there and to recognize it. And take a look at, in the psalm, look at right away in Psalm 91. He says things like shelter, rest, refuge, fortress. Why would you need a shelter and rest and a refuge and a fortress if everything was just fine? Right? There are real, you know, as C.S. Lewis once famously said, we have cause to be uneasy. There's reasons to be anxious and just being able to see anxiety, to see it in your own life, is significant. if you're going to welcome it as a friend. But then seeing it is often not enough. I think the next level of kind of emotional health is to be able to say it. To say it. I love how verse 2, he says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It's not enough just to see it. There's something about saying it. You have to learn to give voice to your emotions, particularly give voice to anxiety. Very often we see it, right? We kind of see what's going on, but then we keep it inside. We don't tell anybody. We don't tell God. We don't get it out. And so it just sits inside of us. And then again, we react to it. And often in destructive ways. Anxiety always speaks. I remember my son had a big basketball game, you know, and I'm driving up and I'm like, hey, buddy, you know, you nervous? It's like, no, I'm not nervous. And his first shot went clear over the backboard. You know what I mean? Like anxiety always speaks, okay? So, you know, whether you want to say it or not, it's going to speak. I know plenty of people say, I don't worry about much. They drink a lot, but they don't worry about much, right? You know, like the anxiety is speaking. So learn to give it its right voice is a significant skill. Learn to say it. Who do you speak to? How do you do it? How do you give it a voice? I mean, of all people, I think those of us that are in Christian community, we have within us a resource, you know, in the body of Christ through, you know, ministers and through, you know, spiritual friends and all that, where we should be able to share our anxieties and to speak them. And we have these incredible spiritual disciplines like journaling, writing out your thoughts, writing out what are you really worried about. And that's often very hard. And the Psalms are a great example of this. One of the reasons we're not comfortable speaking our anxieties is because it takes us a while to really name it. Very often you read the Psalms and the psalmist will be wandering around. He wants God to beat these people up and he's nervous and he's mad at God. And all of a sudden he just kind of gets, he's like, God, I'm worried. I'm worried. It takes a while sometimes to like really get to what is bugging you, you know? I remember this was one of these helpful things. It's the human brain can only kind of think in about 7-year increments. You can really only envision your life about 7 years ahead of where you are right now. And very often, you know, I call them the like 7-year storm clouds on the horizon, right? For mine, my storm cloud is called college, right? Now, you know, 7 years ago, that storm cloud didn't really exist. My kids were little, but all of a sudden this cloud is like appearing. And I'm like, what, you know, what is that thing? I don't, you know, and it takes me a while to get at it and get to it and to say it, you know. It's hard, you know, your anxiety always speaks. But the key to welcoming as a friend is to be willing to do the work to figure out like where it is and where is it coming from. And why am I anxious? What is it? You know, and just to be able to say, like, I'm worried about, boom. And just as a listener, okay, just if you're on the receiving end of that, one of the easiest ways to shut down someone speaking to you is as soon as they say that, you dismiss it, or you try to answer it, or you know, whatever it is. That's one reason why a lot of people don't speak it, because as soon as they say it, you know, like people... It kind of gets us worried. So we say something back. You know, we don't want to think about that, you know. And just so instead, just learn to like let people speak it. And let that be enough. We very often want to answer people's anxiety. What we don't realize is most of the work comes in just seeing it and saying it. I'm not saying there aren't times where, like, you've got to answer the problem, you know? Like, when I was worried about my gas grill, I needed someone to help me, give me good answers. I mean, I get that. But very often, seeing it and saying it is all that we need. But then lastly, like, releasing it. Releasing it. One of the best examples of what I would call, like, definitions of what I would call, like, destructive anxiety is to define it this way. It's praying to yourself. It's taking a look at the problems of your life, the things that you're worried about, and it's looking inside of yourself and saying, how can I? 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 You're taking your problems and you're really praying to yourself for the answers. And that's kind of the opposite of what the psalmist did. The psalmist learned to see it, say it, and then release it to God. There's a lot of kind of conditional phrases. There's a lot of, it says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. For he will command his angels concerning to guard you. They will lift up your hands. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledged my name. Releasing it. I think if the psalmist hadn't kind of like, if he wanted to shorten this and just kind of say this quickly, he would say, the problems are real, but God is really there. Wow. You know, like these problems are real, and I see it, and I've said it, but now I've experienced, like God is actually, like, really there. He's really there. And because he's really there, like, I can release it to him. Anxiety, we don't often think of this, but anxiety is like electricity. You know, it shocks you. And then you look to transfer the shock somewhere else, right? Or you hold on to it and it just zaps you, you know? So you either release it, you know? My wife loves to release her anxiety to me, right? Okay, so she gets shocked, then I get shocked, then I look for one of my kids to shock, you know? Like, and it just kind of travels around. You know, the key to electricity when there's a shock in the system is to properly ground it, right? And that's, take that electricity and channel it to a place where it can't continue to zzz, right? Ground it, right? If you make the Lord your refuge. See it, say it, release it. Now, releasing it doesn't mean the problems all go away. Releasing it means you let go of thinking you are the only one that can fix this thing. You let go of this thought that there's no one else out there that cares about you. You let go of the guilt and the angst and all the stuff that's keeping you from God, and you just come to God and you say, God, I am worried. Be my refuge. Be my shelter. Be my guide. I love 1 Peter chapter 5. Cast all your worries upon God. Why? Because he cares for you. The problems are there. The anxiety is there. See it, say it, but release it because God is really there too. And that's a beautiful thing to discover. So, Church of the Resurrection, this week, for this week only, as you encounter the worries of this world, may you really understand what it means to dwell in the shelter of the Most High and to find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? Amen.